Alrighty, hour number two of our radio program. Another day, another segment on Aaron Rodgers. Fun, 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 fun. Just make a decision already, dude. Supposedly the Vikings are getting involved, or people are thinking the Vikings are contemplating signing Aaron Rodgers. I'd actually be disappointed if the Vikings signed Aaron Rodgers. I just don't get why at this point. Like, if you're Minnesota, do you think you're winning a Super Bowl this year with Aaron Rodgers? I don't. And I get it, right? Aaron Rodgers is a top 10, top 15 quarterback of all time. Aaron Rodgers has won multiple MVPs in this league. Aaron Rodgers is 41. He played fine the last 10 games of the season. Does he still have another season left in him? Yes. But Aaron Rodgers, for years, was in Green Bay. Got that Super Bowl early. And I know not all those losses in the playoffs were his fault. Like, I'm not blaming the game to Seattle in that NFC Championship game on Aaron Rodgers. But there was two in particular towards the end of his career in Green Bay that were on him. The division round loss to the San Francisco 49ers, and then the loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC Championship game. And since then, he's had an Achilles injury. Since then, he had the Jets happen to him. So now, do I think he's going to go to Minnesota and he's going to find a way to get to an NFC Championship game and get to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl? I don't. And I get it. The Vikings have made some nice moves this offseason. The Vikings have a good team. But you just used a first-round pick on J.J. McCarthy. And I know people are uncertain on what J.J. McCarthy will be. But isn't the whole goal, right, when you have a quarterback on a rookie contract, to spend in as many other places as possible and then go take advantage of that window while J.J. McCarthy, who's already in year two in this league, is on that rookie contract? Isn't that the goal? So, like, I'll just say this. Is Aaron Rodgers, if he goes to Minnesota, is he going to be better than Sam Darnold was this year? I know people are going to say, oh, Zach, come on, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's Aaron Rodgers compared to Sam Darnold. Yeah, and you know what? If I asked it that way, I'd say the same thing. But Sam Darnold last year had 4,319 yards, a 66.2 completion percentage, 35 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. How much better is Aaron Rodgers going to be than what Sam Darnold just was? The answer is, at this stage of his career, at 41, I don't think he's going to be that much better. So, then you could maybe say, oh, but Zach, this is going to be a guy that he'll get into the postseason. He'll be better than Sam in the postseason. Okay. Is Aaron Rodgers one of the greatest postseason quarterbacks of all time? Even after being a Super Bowl champion, a Super Bowl MVP? Aaron Rodgers is one of those iconic great players. And I know Peyton Manning won two Super Bowls, but the results have been very up and down in the playoffs, right? You look at the postseason record, it's not the greatest thing in the world. You look at the postseason performances, it's not where they should be with what he's done in the regular season. So I don't think the Vikings are going to pull the trigger on Aaron Rodgers. It would be funny if they did. And I heard Brett Favre played that as well yesterday. He was advocating for Aaron to go sign with the Minnesota Vikings, and that would be the Brett Favre path. From Green Bay to the swamps of Jersey with the Jets, and then to cold like Minnesota with the Minnesota Vikings. That would be something. But there is, in my opinion, when I try to envision it, and I try to envision Aaron Rodgers in a Minnesota Vikings uniform, I just don't see it. I don't. So I'd be surprised on that. But let's hear from Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I like that name, Chewy, on ESPN Milwaukee. What do you think a Chewy looks like? If I say Chewy, I have an idea of what a Chewy would look like. I have no clue who Chewy is. So my apologies. That's on me just being like a national pundit. Oh, I don't know who these local guys are. Like, I don't know who Chewy is.
I would imagine Chewy is one of two things. Either soft fella, or
what do you mean by that?
Yeah, little rotund.
Oh, okay.
A little soft,
a little chubby,
little chubs, or very, very, very hairy and hard to understand. Speak kind of like, oh, you know, like Chewbacca. I can't do a Chewie voice.
I'm looking up now, Jen, Gabe, and Chewie. I'm trying to find a picture of
Chewie. Maybe it's like someone whose last name is like Chew something, and it's just...
Have you ever... Chewbacca?
Chewbacca's last name, maybe.
Wait, Mike, can you do that again?
That's my Chewbacca.
If we did that Zach After Dark and Hark show, that noise would have a different interpretation, I'll tell you that. All right.
Maybe this was what Chernoff was talking about not having cruises on the air.
I think Chewie is like 5'4" and chunky. I just searched Jen, Gabe, and Chewie, and the headshot. This guy Chewie looks like he's in shape. So I don't know why he's called Chewie. But anyway, this is Jen, Gabe, and Chewie with a little Shefty on ESPN Milwaukee. Are the Vikings an option for Aaron Rodgers?
I'm not including Minnesota in the Aaron Rodgers conversation until I have a reason to have some form of evidence that that's something that we need to take realistically. Now, there are no absolutes this time of the year. Anything could always happen. But I just don't view that as a primary option right now. Minnesota, to me, is setting sail with J.J. McCarthy. They're counting on him to be their starting quarterback. Who's more likely than J.J. McCarthy to start for the Vikings next year? Nobody.
No idea.
Nobody. It's going to be J.J. McCarthy. He's their guy.
He went like a little Jim Harbaugh there. Like, who's got it better than us? Nobody. Who's going to be the Vikings quarterback this year outside of J.J. McCarthy? Nobody. You know Chewie, though?
I think we all know Chewie.
How?
Chewie is former Green Bay Packers tight end and Brett Favre favorite target, Mark Chmura.
Is it really?
It's Mark Chmura.
Are you serious?
That's why he looks so darn buff in the picture.
Yeah, I'm like...
Stu was right. Has something to do with his last name.
Yeah. I would have never, like, I couldn't even think of a name. We went Chewbacca. You sound like the mix of like a buzzsaw and something else and like a lawnmower.
Listen, if you got some grass to cut, I'll come right over.
Yeah. I'll just pick Samter up by his ankles, make the noise.
My grass never looked cleaner.
Okay. I was like, look, I'm like, that's not how I envisioned a Chewie, if I'm just being honest. I have a friend named Chewie, actually. We call him Chewie. And he's like a short little... He's not like chubby, but he's got a little meat to him, if you know what I'm saying. You know, thick some bitch. So I don't think Aaron Rodgers, you know, going back to this, I'll never be able to get these Samter noises out of my head. This is going to haunt me for the rest of my life. I don't think Rodgers going to the Vikings. So if I'm the Steelers or the Giants, I'm going to take a line from Chris in California. I'm going to collude together, right? The Rooney family, the Mara family, I'm calling one another. Let's set a deadline on Aaron Rodgers. One of us are going to win, one of us are going to lose, or at least one of them. Try to dictate this Rodgers stuff on your own terms. And I would set a deadline to Aaron Rodgers. You got to let us know by the end of next week. And if not, then we're going to go sign Russell Wilson or we're going to go elsewhere. And Rodgers could say, you know what, screw you, I'm doing this on my terms. But it kind of goes back to what Rich Gannon said to us yesterday. So let me play this. This is Rich Gannon from SiriusXM NFL Radio, obviously a former NFL MVP with the Raiders. He joined us and he said Mike Tomlin has to have a pretty clear conversation with Aaron Rodgers. I think Rodgers should go to the Steelers, but I don't know how much different of an Aaron Rodgers you're going to get in terms of the commitment and all that stuff.
Well, the thing that's what you have to decide. Like, if I'm Mike Tomlin, that's where we start. Like we sit down. We're not going to talk about the tape. We're not going to talk about football. We're not going to talk about the offense, what that's going to look like for today. I'm just going to sit there and say, hey, what do you want? What do you want with your career? You're at a point in your career. You'll be 42 in December. Do you want to go out before you go to Canton and get that gold jacket? What do you want to accomplish? Do you want to have a chance to compete for a world championship? Here's the place. I've never had a losing season. But here's what I need from you before we even sit down there and talk about dollars and the contract and our offense. Are you going to be all in? I need a total commitment from you. And if you'll give me that, what I'll do is we'll put together a great offensive football system that you're comfortable with. We'll tweak what we have to tweak. But we're not going to become one of these wide-open systems of football where we throw it 40 times a game just so we can – no, we're going to be true to who we are. We're going to be physical. We're going to run the football. We're going to play action. We're going to change the launch point. We'll be aggressive. But you have to work with us. And I think that's what Mike Tomlin has to figure out. Is this guy going to be all on board, or are there going to be distractions? Are there going to be some things that he's not as comfortable with? Like, I'm not really at this point, if I'm Mike Tomlin, I don't want to go down that road. I don't want to set my program back to accommodate one player. And that would be a huge mistake if, in fact, you don't get a total buy-in from Aaron Rodgers.
Can I just ask a question? And maybe I should ask this to Rich yesterday. Can Mike Tomlin, even when he says that to Aaron Rodgers, mention a championship? Like, I know they won a Super Bowl with Mike Tomlin. They haven't won a playoff game since 2016, though. So could you say, like, if you want to go to a spot where you could win a championship, you got to do this our way. Wouldn't the easy retort from Aaron Rodgers be like, dude, I beat you guys in a Super Bowl, number one. And number two, you haven't won a playoff game since the 2016 season. But with the Rodgers options, like, Minnesota would be a better option than Pittsburgh. I don't think Minnesota's on the table. Until we find out that Aaron Rodgers is meeting with the Minnesota Vikings, I'm not taking the Vikings seriously for Aaron Rodgers. So, yes, I guess he could play that card if the options are the Steelers or the Giants. But at this rate, it's almost as if Rodgers is saying, yeah, I'm not in love with the Steelers. Like, I would go to the Steelers. And, you know, obviously I'm not in love with the Giants. I think the Rodgers to the Vikings stuff, ironically, even though Rodgers will pretend like he doesn't talk to anyone in the media, I think that's more so coming from the Rodgers camp and trying to push that out there than it is that Minnesota's actually mulling this thing over. So I would set a deadline, though, if I'm the Steelers and the Giants, and just say, hey, Aaron, you got a week. You know, get your toes out of the sand and, you know, your creepy walk on the beach. Get into your house, call us, and let us know what we're doing. If not, we're moving on. But I don't know if any of those teams have the guts to do that. Like, the Giants are as desperate could be right now. Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, they're treading water, and their head keeps on going underneath and then popping back up for air, and they don't have a lot of breath left. So, like, let's just be real about that. The Steelers, they've kind of just been in punt-it mode ever since Big Ben walked out the door. And even the last few years of Big Ben weren't anything pretty in Pittsburgh. Like, they just brought back Mason Rudolph today, the Steelers. Like, how many times are we going to talk about Mason Rudolph in Pittsburgh? Him, Duck Hodges, Kenny Pickett. You know, you had Justin Fields, you had Russell Wilson. Like, yeah, Rodgers would be their best option. And it's also the best option for Rodgers right now that I think is realistic. So I don't think we need to sit here. Now, we're always going to talk about it. It's something that's going to be in the conversation. Like, people go, oh, you're talking about Aaron Rodgers again. You think I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers today? No. But tell me right now, a bigger pressing issue in the NFL. What's a bigger topic, a conversation in the NFL right now than in terms of where's Aaron Rodgers going to land? You know, it's Thursday. We had the wave of free agency happen. We saw Sam Darnold land in Seattle. We saw Geno Smith get traded to Stu's Raiders. Right, we saw Justin Fields sign with the JTS Jets. You know, you found out that Matt Stafford was staying with the LA Rams. Myles Garrett's not getting traded. All right, there's speculation on what's going to happen with T. Higgins and Trey Hendrickson, sure. You know, you had other big free agent names go off the board, like a Milton Williams. Ronnie Stanley stayed with the Ravens. You know, you had trades like Deebo Samuel got traded. DK Metcalf got traded. The wave of NFL news, where it's the onslaught of big name after big name or big piece of information after big piece of information, that merry-go-round has already spun around way too many times. And the last name that really elicits a response and evokes a emotional response and for people that actually care is, where the heck is Aaron Rodgers going to go? And you know what? This keeps on waiting. Maybe Ty Dunn ends up being right. Because I don't think Minnesota is going to be an option. Let's say if the Steelers go, you know what? We're just going to bring back Russ. I guess the Giants are still there, but what happens in the meantime if the Giants trade up from 3-1? Imagine a world where Aaron Rodgers gets shut out. Oh, boy. That would be a dark place for Aaron Rodgers. We have to go into a cave again. It is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I think we may need to add a Chewy to this show. I think we should do that, by the way, Samter. No, please no. Please no. Don't make that noise again. I don't want to have nightmares tonight. Be sleeping tonight, I'm going to wake up. Ah! Because I will hear that noise that Samter was making. What did that noise sound like one more time? Go ahead. You sound like a dying cat. Like that just purring. Alrighty, we'll take a break. We'll come on back. Coming up in 5 minutes, we will do Mock Draft 3.0. Stu versus Gelb. Also, just added to the lineup at 5:20 p.m. Eastern time today, Andrew Bogish is going to stop by to share some memories about John Feinstein, who Bogish has a long time relationship with. And I didn't know this. John brought Bogish to the network. I didn't know that. So I reached out to Andrew, as unfortunately, as we talked about right out of the start of the show, right out of the gate, that we found out the unfortunate news about an hour before we got on the air, 30 minutes before we got on the air, that John Feinstein did pass away today at the age of 68. And John was a part of the original lineup here at the network. So I shared a few text messages with Bogish, and he's going to reminisce and remember the life of his friend in John Feinstein. He'll join us today at 5:20 p.m. Eastern time. All right, it's Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. This is Mock Draft version 3.0. I believe we've done two of these so far, Stu, and we keep on vacillating on who gets the odds and who gets the evens. And really, the mock drafts, they change from week to week, whether it's the combine or then you have free agency. And then also there's pundits and analysts and insiders that change their opinions that make us change our opinions. So you're taking the odds, I'm taking the evens this time around. Stu, right?
That's correct, yes.
All righty, so the Tennessee Titans are on the clock, unless if you're making a trade or you're having Tennessee keep the pick. I have no clue. Go ahead.
We have a trade.
Ooh.
They are trading with the Giants. The Giants are jumping up to 1. The Titans are going down to 3. And the Giants, with that pick, they are taking their quarterback of the future, and that is Cam Ward.
So do you think this means that the Giants are not going to get Aaron Rodgers?
Yes, I'm basing this off of the Steelers are going to get Rodgers.
Okay. And will the Giants still bring in Russ in this exercise then?
I could see that, yeah. Right? I could see him coming in and being there as a backup or maybe play a couple weeks. Maybe.
It's weird to say it now. Russ doesn't have the power or the leg to stand on. It's so quickly crazy how quickly he's fallen. He doesn't really have the power or the leg to stand on and be like, oh, now you can't take a quarterback because I'm Russell Wilson and my feelings will get hurt. Like, that just happened to Kirk Cousins after he signed a 4-year contract. And here's a hot take. Russell Wilson ain't signing a 4-year contract. So that puts the Browns in at the second pick. Cam Ward is off the board to the New York Football Giants. I don't think they're taking a quarterback here. I think they should take a quarterback. I'm saying that the Cleveland Browns are going to go with Travis Hunter out of Colorado. So that puts the Tennessee Titans on the clock.
Yes, so the Titans now, with Hunter gone, I don't think they will take...
Did that surprise you, me putting Travis Hunter with the Browns?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
I
don't...
startled. That's
no,
I
no,
asked.
No. I'm just looking at my sheet, what I have written down here.
Your big
here.
Board?
Yeah, my big board. I don't think the Titans will go quarterback after trading out, so I think they will go with Abdul Carter, which I'm sure you are not 100% thrilled with as a Patriots fan, but I think that is what they would do in this scenario.
Oh, this is my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Is that... they can't trade back. Like, to me, I think if Shedeur Sanders doesn't go at 3, I don't think there's a team that's jumping up to 4 to go get Shedeur Sanders that the Patriots are going to get some crazy godfather offer. I want either Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter to be there. So then I look at the offensive line, and I think the pick here should be Will Campbell. I know people are going to bitch and complain about the short arms, whatever. The guy's a good tackle. I don't know if he's great, but I know he's good. So I think the Patriots go offensive line here, and they take Will Campbell out of LSU with the Tiger family. Go Tigers. All righty, Stu. What's the next pick here? In at number 5, you have the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, so I think here for the Jags, I think they will go best player available. And I think at this stage, that is Mason Graham. And I think they jump all over that, and they're pretty happy with getting him at 5.
All righty, Raiders then in at 6.
Yep.
They just got Geno Smith. Geno, Geno, Geno. Rich Gannon said it to us yesterday. If Shedeur Sanders is still there, they should absolutely still consider picking him. I think this is the best move possible for the Raiders, considering the circumstances at 6 and with the position of need that they have at the quarterback position. You don't have to place Shedeur right away. I would be fascinated, though, when, let's say, Geno Smith plays a bad game early in the season, and let's say Colorado gets off to a strong start, and then Coach Prime is doing like a Monday news conference, and someone goes, hey, you know, Coach so-and-so here from, you know, I don't even know any the Colorado Times. I don't even think that's a thing. Coach, Shedeur backing up Geno. Geno just threw 3 interceptions and doesn't know what time zone he's in. Do you think it's time for Shedeur to play? Deion could put, or Coach Prime, excuse me, because I'm a believer, could put a lot of pressure on the Raiders that way. I think, though, that the Raiders, they're going to end up taking Shedeur Sanders here. So give me Shedeur with the 6 overall pick. So far, Giants trading up to get Cam Ward. Browns going Travis Hunter. Tennessee going Abdul Carter. New England going Will Campbell. Jacksonville going Mason Graham. And the Raiders going with Shedeur Sanders in at 6. And that leads us to the JTS, Jets.
So I think here at 7, the Jets will go with an offensive weapon type of a guy. Now, between two guys, I am between Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State, and Tetaroa McMillan from Arizona. I could see either one. I think McMillan, based off of mock drafts and just the idea of getting a receiver, I think who is clearly the best receiver other than Travis Hunter, I think the Jets go with McMillan out of Arizona here at 7.
Wow. So this is the first, I don't want to say stunner for me, but surprising pick for me. Because I'm not going to lie, Stu, I did not have the Carolina Panthers taking McMillan, and I thought he would still be available. I thought with the pick that you just made with the Jets that you were going to take Tyler Warren. So I already penciled in Tyler Warren when I went to the Jets. I just wrote Tyler Warren. I had to delete it. Then I had to write McMillan. And now I got to think, do the Carolina Panthers just take Tyler Warren to go get a weapon, another weapon for Bryce Young? And I know they have Tommy Tremble there, who's like a fine tight end, but he's nothing that's like, oh, franchise tight end. You have Xavier Leggett. You just brought back Adam Thielen. You got Chuba Hubbard, who is a good running back in this league. Could they use the help on the defense? Absolutely. But you know what? This is a Panthers team that's so far away. I'm going to get another weapon for a young quarterback. I'm taking Tyler Warren to the Carolina Panthers.
I like it. I think 9 here for the Saints. I think it's between offensive line and edge rusher. It's interesting to see. Like, we do have Cam Jordan coming back. He's obviously towards the end of his run there. Do they draft his replacement, or do they get an offensive lineman? I think the Missouri offensive lineman, Armon Membu, is the guy here. I think he makes some sense. The Saints need a lot, but I think getting an offensive lineman is a good start. A lot of people like him as a top 10 pick.
So now I have the Bears here, and I look at the Bears, and I say to myself, oh, Tyler Warren's off the board. Like, if I'm Chicago, I want Tyler Warren, I would think, to still be on the board there. And now the Bears, they don't need to take an offensive lineman because they just revamped their offensive line, going on out there, getting Drew Dolman. You have Joe Tooney that you just got, and you got Jonah Jackson. You just got 3 new starters on the offensive line. Now, could they go defense? Could you draft a corner? Could you go maybe, an edge rusher in a Jalen Walker? Yeah. But I'm going to go and give my quarterback a best friend, right? You look at quarterbacks, they have reliable receivers there. I think Roma Dunze is going to be a good player in this league, even though it wasn't wonderful last year. DJ Moore is still there. He's really good. Cole Kmet is a fine tight end option, and you have new offensive line. I'm going Ashton Jeanty here. I think if Ashton Jeanty or Tyler Warren are on the board and Warren's on in this exercise, I would go Ashton Jeanty here if I'm the Bears. I think one of those two picks should be the picks for the Bears. So here's the latest mock draft. Stu had the odds, I had the evens. Cam Ward to the Giants, Brown, Travis Hunter, Titans, Abdul Carter. Patriots, Will Campbell. Jaguars, Mason Graham. Raiders, Shador Sanders. Jets, Territory McMullen. Panthers, Tyler Warren. Saints, Armand Membu. And then the Bears with Ashton Jeanty. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. On the call screener, it says Anthony and Myrtle Beach. Stu's mock trade. So that was the mock trade that Stu just had where he had Tennessee falling back to 3 and the Giants going up to 1. Anthony wants to chime in on that. Ant, what do you got?
What the hell are you giving the Titans to trade up to 3? You have nobody. What incentive is Tennessee getting out of that trade? Because you're giving a lot of meat up. Where's the beef to back it? What are you giving them?
So I'm not,
what are you doing?
So I'm not Stu, obviously, but I'll speak for Stu here. This is what I think the line of thinking would be, is that Mike Borgonzi, a first-year general manager, either doesn't want to take a quarterback or doesn't believe in the quarterbacks here. From what I've read, Connor Hughes had this. One general manager that's not related with Tennessee or the Giants said it would probably be a swap of ones, right? So 1 and 3, and then either 2 threes, or if the Giants really need to sweeten up the pie a little bit on this and the offer, it would be a swap of ones, a 3, and a 2 in order to go up to 1 from 3.
I mean, I appreciate his draft, but I just don't think it's still.
Well, here's the thing. There's a difference in what we think, what should happen and what will happen. So I will give Stu the ability to address this right now. Were you operating more on what Tennessee should do or what they will do with this number one overall pick?
Will do.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a mock draft. Will
do. And I think that's fair. So, you know, if I'm Tennessee, if I'm Borgonzi, I'm taking Cam Ward, right? If you were getting like 2, 3 additional first round picks, different story. But I think if Tennessee is trading back, it's either 2 or 3. And you're not going to get a king's ransom from the Browns or the Giants to have that trade go
And
down.
They still might get, the like, assuming they would do this if they don't love Cam Ward, then they still might get their favorite player at 3.
I'll tell you, producers, associate producers, they've been annoying the listeners lately. They've been annoying the listeners. I was a listener last night, Carlos with the K, saying the Chiefs aren't going to make the playoffs. Stu has a mock trade. Anthony and Myrtle Beach called up. Stu's a moron. You know? Stu, you could be in the run. No, that's not the dumb take of the year. The dumbest take of the year. Santa has a folder now. Dumbest take of the year. And there's one audio clip in it, right?
Just one. Although the Shep, I could beat Mike Tyson.
But that wasn't this year.
I know, but what I'm saying is, like, that's so dumb that it should always be the contender every single year.
Yeah, well, it's...
That's how bad it was.
It's not this year. So we'll keep a running folder of that, and we'll see who ends up making this the dumbest take of the year. I'm sure I'll throw a few of them in there myself.
It's funny to me that I'm the least annoying of the producers lately.
I don't know if that's true.
I mean, between Carlos and Stu's trade,
I think it depends who you ask.
David Mayernick even just came in here and said, fantastic Chewy impression.
Oh, really? He came in here, he said, cut Samter's mic off.
We're doing a bad job of that.
No, I'm just kidding. Ack is here. Ack, how you doing? All right?
All right. Yourself?
Yeah, obviously, Ack, you've been here since the inception of the network, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And unfortunate news today, obviously, is you were the one that informed us that John Feinstein passed away at the age of 68. You know, we talked about it, right to open up the show right before the first break. I know you knew John very well. If you want to share a few memories or say a few things, you're more than welcome to.
John was a brilliant man. My first introduction to him, like many, was Season on the Brink, which is one of the legendary groundbreaking sports books. I was lucky enough to live in Washington and read him, you know, when he was a columnist for the Post, and I had never met him, but he came on the radio station where I was working a lot and had a good relationship with everyone. So when I left Washington, I didn't want to leave without saying hello to John Feinstein, and I called him, you know, without having any relationship with the guy, meeting him. And not only did he not hang up on me, but we talked, it probably was like an hour. And he told me how much he liked my work and I was on to bigger and better things and congratulate. And that meant the world to me. And I was like, wow, he knows my name. And I kind of felt a lot of validation. We had either met or stayed in touch throughout the years you come across people. And obviously when he started working here, it was fun to be around him. But The guy was beyond being a legendary writer, but he was just so good at everything he did. I remember Richard Justice, who was then at the Washington Post in 1993, telling me that John could go out and cover a fire and beat everybody to the story and had the best story, too. He said he was the best reporter he's ever seen, and several other former Washington Post people kind of backed that up. So that just kind of gives you an overview of just how smart and how talented he was. To have your first book be such a legendary book, and there were many others that followed, A Good Walk Spoiled, the Army-Navy Game, the Civil War, among others. I mean, there were so many, but to have, and you think about it too, and I always marvel about this, and you know how young the Beatles were when they had all their hits, and how old they were by the time they broke up, which really they were still in their 20s. You know, John was a relatively, you know, or what you would call a young guy when he wrote Season on the Brink, and you really can kind of just go from there about how talented he was. But you know, what a career, what a life, gone way too soon. But a good guy, you know, very, I don't know if you want to say tightly wound, but really driven, you know, fought for what he believed in and really stood up. The thing that I love going back to A Season on the Brink is that he made you like Bob Knight. He painted for, he gave you everything you needed to know about the guy, but there was times you would read that book and you'd say, you know what, Bob Knight's probably not a bad guy. He would be a good friend to have. Or he humanized Knight, definitely brought out the you know, insane part of his personality,
sure,
which people knew already, yeah. but there was a lot to it. You know, there was a lot there that I don't think people really got, whether it was good and or bad, about Bob Knight. And it was just a brilliant piece of work. I mean, and it still holds up today. And I still remember reading that. As a matter of fact, I read it during finals week my sophomore year of college.
Wow.
So I couldn't put it down once I started. So I would recommend, if you haven't read the book,
did you do well on the test?
Yeah. I got through okay. But I still remember there was a paragraph about a guy by the name of Delray Brooks, who was one of the top high school players in the nation and from the state of Indiana. So, of course, he went to IU, and he wound up transferring to Providence and was on their Final Four team in 87. It just didn't work out for whatever reason. He was a good player, but he probably was overrated as the number two player in the nation, not to disrespect Delray Brooks in any way. But there is a line talking about, you know, there is a passage about, you know, how Brooks was struggling and yada, yada. And finally, when Feinstein broke the news that, like, his transfer was happening, he said, I still remember the line. I was like, and that was Delray Brooks' last act as an Indiana Hoosier. And I was like, I almost cried, because you kind of felt, you kind of followed along with all these characters and what they went through in the book. It's phenomenal.
And I have an interesting perspective on it, just because when the network, and right, John was a host here on the, and
yeah,
he
was 9 till noon when we started
on the first lineup, and that lineup, I'm pretty sure 6 to 9 was Tiki Barber, Brandon Tierney, Dana Jacobson.
Yep.
Then you had John Feinstein. Then you had Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Gottlieb, right, was afternoons.
Yep.
Then you had Brian Jones and Chris Moore.
Yep.
You had the legendary Scotty Farrell. And then it was DA, right, that did the overnight.
Yeah, it was the overnight show, yeah.
So you look at that lineup, and as someone that was like, oh, like, you know, I grew up, right, Mike and the Mad Dog.
Yeah.
Imus, Boomer and Carden, right?
Yeah.
The 9,000 host that did Middays at the Fan. It was like, oh, in this building, there's a new network. And obviously the name CBS Sports Radio brought credibility on its own.
Yeah, cachet, absolutely.
But like Rome is like a separation of the network. He's his own brand, his own entity. That was the big name.
Yeah.
And no offense to anybody else that they brought in. And right, like Pharrell's like one of the legends of this business. Tiki Barber, you know, a phenomenal running back. Brian Jones, great college guy. But Feinstein, to me, as a listener, that was like outside of Rome, that was the credibility.
Yeah.
If you loved his opinions, if you couldn't stand them, whatever, that was the name that I thought had so much credibility.
Yeah, and the funny thing about that show is, and you know, people may feel differently about it, but to me, John was going to tell you what John liked and how he thought it should be.
Yeah.
Like kind of, you know, again, he was a really proud man, and as I said, he had very strong beliefs. He wasn't afraid to take a shot at somebody, but, you know, he really wanted to delve into topics. There were, you know, there are certain things that make all of us tick, and John talked about the things that made him really tick, And again, that really drove him. And it was fun. I don't want to say a rant, but it was fun to see what might get under his skin or what he thought needed fixing in the world.
And I'll tell you, no one did better sports minutes than Feinstein.
Yeah, absolutely.
Feinstein's sports minutes were must listen. And sometimes I do plenty of those sports minutes. And even when you record something, you're like, who the heck's going to care about that? Feinstein, in 30 seconds to a minute, just had a way with his words.
Yeah.
Where I thought, you know, I thought his sports minutes were some of his best stuff because it was such a quick commentary and you always learn something about
it. You know, there are some people in life, and John was certainly one of them, that you kind of wish you could be connected into his brain. And like as he's like pumping out these columns, you wanted to know what was in there. And he'll be missed. He was a good man, as I said, a legendary writer, and just so smart.
And unfortunately, we found out today that John Feinstein did pass away at the age of 68. We'll come on back. Yeah,
I'll also miss him because I'm a big Carolina fan, and obviously he was a Duke guy. So we'd always argue about those things.
Tournament, NCAA tournament. You always think of him. Golf too. Yes. I was able to be at a PGA Championship with him. You know,
but if Carolina lost, I would hear about it. Like that would be the first. Hey, nice job by your Tar Heels there.
How about that? All right, let's get the latest update in with Rich Ackerman. All right, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Let me first tell you about my friends with Ethos Life, as Andrew Bogish, by the way, is going to join us coming up at 5:20 p.m. Eastern time today. This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage, no medical exam, just a few other questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. I'm at the Garden earlier this morning for St. John's. St. John's going up against Butler. St. John's first game in the Big East tournament this year. And St. John's was smoking them, right? And I'm sitting there and I go, the storylines for this March, what are they? And I'm thinking, like, who's the face of March Madness? And a player-wise, it's Cooper Flagg, right? From Duke. From a coaching standpoint, I think it's Rick Pitino. To me, those are the two names that are the biggest names entering this NCAA tournament that have cachet and also that are polarizing. Like, nothing against Cooper Flagg, right? But when you play for Duke, 50% of the people love you, 50% of the people hate you, right? That's just the Duke lineage. I think a little bit of that has kind of gone away a tad since Coach K no longer is on the Duke sidelines. But Cooper Flagg, to me, is the player that will draw the most reaction. And from a coaching standpoint, it's Rick Pitino. Now, like, the other storyline that I think is there, and I could be biased because of the fact that I really like this guy and he comes on the show all the time, but I do think there's also some intrigue in Auburn. And can Bruce Pearl, the only thing missing on his resume in this redemption story, is win an NCAA tournament? But I'll be honest, like, for him and also Kelvin Sampson, I think that's there as well. I don't know how much that resonates nationally. I really don't. So, like, you know, Tom Izzo obviously is always a huge name. And Michigan State, I saw that the Sparty Party is up to 7 in the rankings. But if you ask the common person, right, you know, who's the biggest player in this NCAA tournament? You know, nothing against Jani Broome, but it's Cooper Flagg. And then who's the biggest coach, in your opinion, in this NCAA tournament? It's Rick Pitino. And the Johnnies are ranked 6, and Duke right now is ranked 1 in the country. And the moment I'm sitting there thinking about this, I see on my Twitter, in the ACC tournament, it's kind of like a hickey moment for me, if I'm being honest, that Cooper Flagg goes down with an ankle injury. And he goes off the court, and then with 3 or 4 minutes later, I see that he's in a wheelchair. Now, when I see a basketball player in a wheelchair, I go right to Paul Pierce. And I thought to myself, oh, maybe it's not that bad. You know, some people thought that Paul Pierce just had ticket number 2. Eddie House once refuted that whole claim and idea to me because he said, actually, if you had to get picked up and carried that way into a wheelchair the way that they were holding Paul Pierce, if he actually had to go to the bathroom, he thought he would have just went to the bathroom in that spot. But that's a different story for another day. So Cooper Flagg goes down with this injury. I see him in a wheelchair, and I'm like, hopefully this is a Paul Pierce situation where he's going to be fine. And then 20 minutes later, he didn't return to the game, but he returned to the Duke bench. This is John Shire after the game giving an injury update on Cooper Flagg.
Cooper, You know, he just came down, sprained his ankle. X-rays were negative, which is great. We just have to understand there's going to be swelling and to see how he recovers and how he goes from there.
If I'm Duke and I'm not a doctor, I know you want to win the ACC championship, but I'm not playing him the rest of this ACC tournament. I'm not. Because, right, today's Thursday. The opening round of the NCAA tournament's going to be Thursday, Friday. You want a Duke conspiracy theory? Our boss, David Mayernick, was already throwing us out there. Watch, they'll give Duke the Friday night 9 p.m. game. Stu, you like that, right? You're saying 100% Mayernick's 100%, right.
100%. That's what's going to happen. I'd be stunned if that doesn't happen.
If Duke plays on Thursday, I'll be shocked. All right? I think there's a greater chance of the Chiefs missing the playoffs, like Carlos at the K was saying, which is a ridiculous take, than Duke playing on Thursday. So I would be surprised if Cooper Flagg comes back and plays right for the rest of this ACC tournament. I would. And I don't think you see him until the opening round. And quite frankly, if it's really that bad, you could roll the dice here. You know, I'm assuming at worst, Duke's going to be a 2 seed in the tournament. At worst. Right, and right now, the number one team in the nation. So at worst, they drop down to a 2 seed. They probably still will be a 1 seed. Even if they don't, like, if they get to the ACC championship game and lose, I still think they're probably going to be a 1 seed, but who knows? So you're going to be a 1 or 2. Can you have 16-1 upsets? Can you have 2-15 upsets? Yes. Do you need Cooper Flagg to play in that game? Probably not. But I would not play in the rest of this conference tournament. Let him rest, and then you start this quest, because I'm going to be honest, I'm rooting for the Dukies. I am. I want to see Cooper Flagg when we're in San Antonio in the Final Four, because there's not a lot of juice with this NCAA tournament. Cooper Flagg provides the juice.